Good morning. You're tuned into Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer, and I'm in the studio this morning with my guests for the morning interview. I'm very happy to have with me Lauren Howard, who is the policy for ALFA, Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, and Bree Gable, the sustainability coordinator for the city of Sitka. Thank you both for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And good morning. Did I get your title right, Lauren?
Yeah, technically I think it's policy coordinator.
Policy coordinator.
I wear a lot of hats.
Okay, great. I'm going to take a quick moment to adjust your microphone. I didn't quite set it up. Okay, thank you. We're here to talk about a very interesting topic in Sitka, which Bree has been coming in for a while now on the morning interviews, and we're going to get to hear more of you in the months to come to talk about this topic about energy and sustainability. We're embarking on the first of many interviews that will discuss this topic. And so, Bree, I want to ask you to sort of introduce us to this series of interviews that we're going to be having. Let us know what we're going to be chatting about.
Sure. So I have been working on this wonderful project for about a year now called the Sitka Community Renewable Energy Strategy, or SCRES. It is a goal to have a shared vision of Sitka's energy future and have a roadmap of shared actions that we can take as a community to help guide some community decisions around our energy usage. Thanks to our Sustainability Commission, the City Commission, they said, hey, we need to have some conversations and help the public learn more just about how energy really impacts our day-to-day lives. And so as part of this SCRES project, we had a idea to have a radio series called Let's Connect Blank to Sitka's Grid, where we talk a little bit about things that people might not immediately associate with energy based on our unique little community, public interest, and other topics that we've heard of, like, hey, I want to just learn a little bit more about that, and actually helping figure out, this does impact us here. This does impact our grid right here in Sitka. And what does that mean for us living here in the community? And how does that mean that we want to hear more throughout this fall winter engagement, where we're going to be having really in-depth discussions, trying to get feedback from the community. But right now, we just want to start some really interesting conversations with salmon season kind of in full swing, with all the fish in the water. We thought salmon might be a good start / fisheries. So here we are.
Yeah, that's great. So that takes us to Lauren, but I want to just kind of recap what you just said. So we're going to be talking about things over the course of these interviews that maybe people don't think of, like fisheries, for example, as connected to our grid here in Sitka. And we're about to learn, like, a lot of these things we don't think about really are connected to energy sources, our grid. And people will have a chance to learn over the course of these couple of months and hear what's going on, but also have input. Eventually, there's going to be workshops. Can you touch just a little bit on that, Bree, before we move on?
Yeah, so we're hoping throughout the fall and the winter, we'll be having a series of workshops with the community where we can actually have some of these discussions in person and talk more about next steps and what we can do as a community to establish that shared vision. Any information available, you can go to the website, which is www.cityofsitka.com/SCRES. There's information about our grid in general. There's a webinar series that we're putting together that goes a little bit more in detail about Sitka's grid specifically with some energy experts. But it is an ongoing project, and so I'm constantly updating that website. I'm always interested to hear more about what people want to hear more about, so I can start researching that and finding more of that information to put on that website. But this is intended to be hey, let's bring everybody up to speed so we can actually have some really interesting conversations and hopefully figure out this step forward in our energy future.
Okay, great. Yeah, so actually if people enjoy what they're hearing but have an idea of something that they'd like to hear more about, they could even go to the website and reach out to you that way, let you know, oh, what about this topic?
And that would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe it's already on the list, but it could not yet be, and that would be a way to get some more information about that if you as a listener have an idea. Well, today we're here to talk specifically about fisheries and salmon, which, Lauren, you know a lot about that. That's a lot of your world. You've fished for a long time. You now work for Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. Tell us a little bit about how ALFA is kind of what they're involved is with energy work.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here this morning and to have this conversation as we're kind of winding down from salmon season. A lot of boats are gearing back up for longline. When you think about energy, you know, when you think about the operation of a vessel, fuel is up to 40% of your operating costs, you know, especially with the costs that we're seeing right now. it makes a lot of impact on where you decide to fish, on decisions that you make for how you're going to run your operation. You know, and where we're at right now in the industry, we're seeing these disproportionate costs of operating, especially for fuel, and the cost of fish. So people are changing their operations based on these experiences that we're having right now in the industry. So energy plays a lot into our availability for where we're going to catch our species, and also it plays into our processing sector. We've seen a lot of closures in the industry over the last year, and a lot of those closures have been cited due to operating costs and high operating costs. And we know that the both the transport sector for moving fish around, especially out of Alaska, it's a huge cost. So that can be cited as one thing, a lot related to fuel. And so everything really comes down to energy and availability of cheap energy, clean energy, efficient energy when it comes to running any kind of an operation, fishing included.
And so fuel is one of the main things that you're looking at. What are you finding out about the fuel options for the size of vessels that are here in the fishing fleet in the Sitka, the Southeast fleet?
Yeah, so Alpha's taken a lot of interest in this because a lot of the conversations we're having at the management levels and federal levels, you know, we're just looking at it saying there could be a moment where a law gets passed where we have to reduce our carbon footprint and by X amount. And what does that look like for a small boat fleet? What is realistic for, you know, an old wood boat like the one that my husband and I own to have changes made that are really going to create an impact that are going to reduce that carbon footprint? And so Alpha's taken a lot of looks at how do we create efficiency in our vessels? How do we reduce those carbon footprints? But also, aside from that, we're looking at what are the options for next generation fuels? How do those distribution systems work? Are they realistic for the vessels that we have in our local fleet? At this time, no. Okay. I mean, really what we're seeing is that we're not there yet, but we're still trying to be in the room in the conversations so that we know what's happening and we know what those options are as the technology is shifting and changing.
And then that is really helpful information to know, okay, some of these alternative fuels are not an option for our fleet. And so that, because it opens up your thinking about other things that you can do. So what are some of the ways that you're sort of shifting your gaze and looking at ways boats can be changed?
Yeah, so we've been awarded a few different grant funding awards, and right now we're actually in the midst of a project with a local boat here, the Mirage. Jeff Turner's been fantastic to work with, and we're in the process of converting his boat to be a hybrid system. So what that looks like is he has an electric motor paired with a diesel motor and a clutch, and allows you to switch between the two. So you have the option to run on one or the other. So we're not in a fully electric system, but at least you have the potential to decrease your fuel use by 12 to 20%, I think is what they've determined, depending on the length of your trips and the amount of systems that you're operating. We're also going to be putting an electric outboard on a mariculture vessel, and so we're looking at a fully electric charge, potentially with a solar charging system on site, but also being able to plug into the grid here in Sitka, which is hydropower as well.
Right. That's the super cool thing about the energy here in Sitka. It's 100% renewable, being hydropower. So plugging in is a good idea. Well, that's exciting. The electrification piece is sort of beyond just the boats, though. There's some exciting funding that came through for work that you're doing with seafood processing. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up as well. We also got a congressionally directed spending grant through the Department of Energy, I believe DOE, right? Sorry.
That's okay.
And this was identified by Senator Murkowski. She was a champion for this. And we're doing work on the feasibility for the seafood processor to do more electrification. So we're looking at what are the options within our processing sector to create more resiliency and all of these changes that we're experiencing to decrease their operating costs, to decrease the carbon footprint. So we'll most likely be working with Seafood Producers Cooperative here in the community, as well as a couple different smaller communities and some processing operations that are in those communities as well.
Okay.
So this is just getting going. We're kind of in the feasibility stage, just putting out all the ideas. Also, love to hear back from the community. This is something that we are still talking to vessels about. What are some things that could make changes? Are you interested in any of this work? So as Bree is also doing a call out to the community, we're also doing a call out to the community to come talk to us about this. Come have the conversation.
Fantastic. So how can people reach you or reach Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association? What should they do?
Yeah, you can reach out to us on our website on alphafish.org. And under our Fishery Conservation Network tab, there's information on fuel efficiencies. We do have an application as well for vessels that would be interested in doing any type of conversion work. We are constantly looking for more funding. This is a large large conversation in the nation right now of how to get all of these industries on board with electrification, with hybrid energy. So we are constantly going to be looking for more funding to continue to increase this movement, especially at our local level.
Well, it's an exciting time. People can really get their feet wet at the beginning here, to come in on the ground floor. So that's exciting for people. They can go to alphafish.org. They can also go to www.cityofsitka.com/SCERES to connect. That would be to connect with Bree and the sustainability work there. And alphafish.org would be connect to Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. I've been speaking with the policy coordinator for Alpha, Lauren Howard, as well as Bree Gable, the sustainability coordinator for the city of Sitka. Thank you both for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.